Let's go to our Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, under the power of the cross, we are forgiven, we are freed, we're called your own, and that is entirely an act of your grace in our lives. Lord, help us to realize that your grace is poured out on us daily as we live as children of our Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as I mentioned in the children's message today, when it comes to creating things with my hands, be it pottery, woodworking, or even painting, God in His great love gave me zero talent. I think I barely passed sixth grade art. I would go so far as to say, you know, I may be borderline worthless, don't take that wrong, but worthless in those areas. It sounds harsh, but I am simply being brutally honest here. Anytime I try to make something in shop class as a seventh grade student, or especially when I was at a potter's wheel like this one, you know what it all became? Yet another ashtray. Now, I think because I'm borderline worthless in these things, it has really heightened my appreciation for things that are creatively made by a person's hands. I enjoy pieces of artwork, and I especially find pottery to be fantastic. I'm always on the lookout for beautiful pottery. You know why? Because it's something I know I just cannot do myself. So I appreciate the talents and skills of others. And this is actually what Paul, I believe, is getting at in Ephesians chapter 2, today's second reading. In spiritual matters, such as our eternal destiny, our relationship with God, or if we somehow think we can contribute to anything on our own to our salvation, quite frankly, we're fooling ourselves. I'm being blunt here. Now, what I'm about to share can be a little hard for people to hear sometimes, but hear me out, because this ends with fantastic news. Spiritually speaking, on our own, we cannot save ourselves. It's actually one of the main teachings of the Bible. And Paul said this too. You were dead, this is Ephesians 2 verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. And if you kept going, it says, by nature or children of wrath. That is not a way to win friends or influence people, is it? But Paul's speaking a brutally hard truth. But at the same time, the greatest teaching of the Bible is that God considers you to be priceless. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 make this abundantly clear. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not of his own works, so that no one can boast. If we believe that, spiritually speaking, we cannot save ourselves, we're going to need to have a much deeper appreciation of God's mercy and grace. Now, if you ask any Christian, so, are you saved by grace? The vast majority would say, absolutely. We are saved by grace, not by the stuff we do, our works. We know that in our head. But it gets kind of hard to believe that sometimes, doesn't it? So you're saying, Pastor, we have no part in this? That our efforts don't mean anything? A lot of people struggle to agree with that or believe it. And poll after poll of Christians has shown this. They ask a simple question. So why do you think you'll be in heaven someday? The majority will say things like this. I try to live a good life and be a good Christian. Which that's great. But there seems to be this belief that if I just try hard enough, God's going to go, awesome! Come on in. I can try the best I can with my hands to create something and give it my best effort. But the results are all the same. On my own, when it comes to creating things with my hands, I don't have it. Paul is trying to tell us that when it comes to spiritual matters, it's not about what we try to do. It's God's grace, his gift to us, that makes the difference. But we still like to put forth an effort on our own. I mean, we're called to be God's people. Well, wait a minute. If I just try harder, maybe I'll get a star next to my name. In our Western culture, it's our strong work ethic that really makes this a challenge. Consider these cliches. In fact, I think you'll be able to finish these. So this is a bit of a challenge this morning. We make money the old-fashioned way. We... Thank you. I'm glad you responded. There is no such thing as a free... Okay, here's another one. God helps those who... By the way, that one's not in the Bible at all. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. God helps the helpless. So our Western work ethic is very, very strong. But we have to be careful we don't transfer that over to our spiritual walk. All I can offer you, this verse actually came up in Bible class this morning, Isaiah 64. All of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. That's not a very good visual, folks. And now let me be clear. It's not that God does not want us doing good things. The point is, he does not want us to become confused and to think that we're on a point system of some kind with him. It's not, well, if you do enough good stuff, you'll earn enough points you need to get to heaven. We see that when we start bargaining with God. You get to rock bottom, a tough spot in your life. God, if you do this, that's when you realize, wait a minute, I don't bring anything to the table here. The most you can do is a promise of some future activity. God, if you do this, I will change my life. That raises some questions. How good do I have to be? How much do I have to do? How hard do I have to try before I get enough points to hit the bare minimum for heaven? Folks, there's no comfort or assurance in that at all. It's a deep, dark unknown. Actually, though, it's not an unknown if you do want to go down the path of saying, how much do I have to do? Jesus answered that in Matthew 5. You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Folks, that's an impossibly high standard. We can't do it. We would have, on our own, no hope of being with our Lord in heaven for eternity. But God considers you a masterpiece. Priceless. We tend to focus, especially as Lutherans, on verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. But the turning point in this chapter is actually back at verse 4. The first three verses very bluntly tell us, listen to this, that you are spiritually dead, subject to the devil and all of his works, and are children of wrath. That's not good news. But then, in verse 4, Paul starts, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. You see, God, who is rich in mercy and grace, has stepped in. Mercy is when you don't give someone something they deserve. For example, a police officer pulls you over for going 90 miles an hour down Division Street by the high school during the end of the school day. You deserve a whopper of a speeding ticket, if you're that lucky. Now, he could show you mercy and not give you what you deserve here. What you deserve there is a big, big ticket. What we on our own deserve is, frankly, punishment. God's a just and righteous God, and he punishes sin. That means that when we don't live the way he created us to live, there's punishment. But instead, God, who's rich in mercy, does not give us what we deserve. Instead, he lays it all on his son, Jesus. Instead of punishing us, he punishes Jesus as his son is nailed to the cross, as his own father turns his back on him, as he stands motionless as Jesus breathes his very last and dies, God in his mercy does not punish us for our sin. God in his great love gives us his Son, and by that rich love and grace, we are saved. So if mercy is when you don't give someone something they deserved, grace is when you give something they do not deserve. Jesus took the sin and brokenness of all of us as humans. He died and paid the price. On Easter Sunday, he rose and declared victory over sin, death, and the devil. That was his victory. He's the one who won it. But God, in his grace, gives us what we do not deserve. He declares us to be his children, forgiven, loved, freed. Through the blood of Jesus, we are saved by grace. That is a gift to us. And a gift is something you don't earn. A gift is received. How do we receive this gift of salvation? It's through the hand of faith. Through that faith, our hope, our trust, and our belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he gives us the gift of forgiveness, of new life today in this world, and new life for eternity. That's an amazing gift of grace. God considers you a priceless masterpiece. We respond to that with joy. We have a deeper appreciation, I believe, when we come to grips with the fact that we bring nothing to the table. It's God's gift to us. We see the magnitude of what Jesus did for us, and we respond with unbridled joy. We'll especially see that these next 2 weeks, Palm Sunday and Easter. We're talking about your eternity, about being able to leave behind your regrets and guilt over the things that you've said and done. We're talking about that assurance of spending an eternity in heaven with our Lord Jesus. We want to praise God with everything we've got. So we receive the gift and we respond with joy. And then we respond with our lives. That's the point Paul makes, and I use this in the children's message with Ephesians 2. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, we're now free to live as God created us to live. Jesus put it simply when he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Show love to others in the way God loved you. Yeah, this is all Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit stuff. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is a free response, not forced. Free response to God's love for us. So for this morning, I wonder if we could focus that on two things our broken world needs right now. I wonder if we could show the same mercy and grace that God shows us to others. If there's a person who truly deserves to be put in their place, that maybe we remember they're a child of God. That person may not deserve anything. They have not been nice. They don't deserve a smile or a kind word of encouragement. How about as reflectors of God's love, we mirror that grace anyway? What if we could practice God's grace and mercy in this broken world? So when it comes down to it, we're actually all on a level playing field. We contribute nothing. We don't bring anything to the table. We don't deserve it. But God says, you are priceless. Because of that, we now share his grace and mercy. When we recognize that on our own we can't save ourselves, but that God considers us absolutely priceless, doesn't that change everything? God calls you his child. He forgives you, and he wraps you in his arms today and into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus. Amen.